For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. Tonight is December the 9th, and it is the night before Hanukkah, and we are at the very end of Malachi, the very end of Trei Asar. Perek Gimel of Malachi, chapter 3, Pasuk, we'll start with Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, dealing with we've been talking about this awesome day that is coming, in the future, that Hashem is going to bring, and we talked about last time how there's going to be the Rishayim, the evil people will be judged, and the Tzaddikim will be rewarded. And the Pasuk says, V'zarcha lachem yirei shemi, shemesh tzedakah umar pebech nafeha, that it will shine for you, those who fear my name, the sun of righteousness, and that heals in its wings, meaning that the sun, we talked about this last time, how the same intense light of the sun that will destroy the Rishayim will be a healing agent for the Tzaddikim. V'itzasem v'ishtem ke'egli marbek, you will go out and you will thrive like cattle that is thriving, that is grazing. V'asosem Rishayim. Now, the word asosem is not a common word. It means to crush. You will crush the Rishayim. Ki yu efer tachas kapos ragleichem. For they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. Bayom ha'shani osel, the day that I am doing, that I am making, amar Hashem tzvakos, says Hashem. So what does that mean, that you will crush the evil people? They will be efer, they will be ashes under the soles of your feet. We don't know exactly what it means, but I'm going to read to you a Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. This is on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 17a in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara here is discussing the very, very famous statement that Chazal make. It really starts on the previous page, that the Gemara tells us about the various books that are open Rosh Hashanah, the Tzaddikim, the Rishayim, the Beinonim, the middle ground. And then after discussing that, after the Gemara finishes discussing about Rosh Hashanah every year, then it says, there's a brisa that says, Gimel Kitos Hein Liyom Hadin. There are three groups for the Yom Hadin. Yom Hadin, here in this context, does not mean the Yom Hadin, meaning the day of Rosh Hashanah, which is also called Yom Hadin, the day of judgment. But rather, Rashi says, Kishiyachayu hamesim, when the dead are resurrected. That's when Rashi is saying this ultimate day that we keep talking about. Rashi's understanding is it will be after the resurrection of the dead. Then there will be an ultimate day of judgment. And on that day, there'll be various groups. There's going to be those who are completely righteous, those who are completely evil, and those who are in the middle, similar to Rosh Hashanah every year. And the Gemara discusses, we've actually discussed this a little bit in the past, what will happen with these groups and those who go straight to Olam Haba, those who are punished, those who have to go through a little bit of a cleansing process. But after the Gemara goes through these groups, then the Gemara tells us as follows. Poshen Yisrael begufon, those Jews who sin with their bodies, uposhe umos haolam begufan, and those non-Jews who sin with their bodies. So the Gemara later on explains what does it mean to sin with one's body. So for a Jew, it means a Jew who does not wear tefillin on a regular basis. A Jewish male who regularly ignores the mitzvah of tefillin. Clearly we're talking about somebody who knows that he's supposed to be putting on tefillin, and doesn't do it regularly. It's not talking about someone who misses once or twice. It's talking about someone who regularly dismisses the mitzvah of tefillin. That's called poshe Yisrael begufan. That's a Jew who is sinning with his body. What does it mean? A non-Jew sinning with his body? The Gemara tells us that's referring to non-Jews who are involved in Giloy Arayas, who are involved in immorality, which we know that non-Jews are also required to keep a certain level of morality when it comes to relationships. And so they who don't keep that, who regularly ignore that mitzvah, then they are also called poshe begufan. They sin with their bodies. So what will happen to that group? These people, they're worse off than just regular sinners. These averos are part of their lifestyle. So then what happens to them? So the Gemara says, Yardim leGehenim, they go down to Gehenim, Vinidonin b'yud beis chodesh, and they're judged there for 12 months. Unlike the previous group the Gemara was talking about, those who are in the middle, who may have to go to Gehenim for a short time to be cleansed, this group remains in Gehenim for 12 months. La'achar yud beis chodesh, after 12 months, gufan kala, their bodies end, they no longer have a physical body, v'nishmasan nisrefes, and their souls are incinerated, v'ruach mifazrasan tachas kapos ragle tzadikim, and the ruach, the wind, blows them, I guess it means blows their ashes, under the souls of the tzadikim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, the pasuk we just read, Vasosem Rishayim, you will crush the evil people, ki yu efer, for they will be ashes, tachas kapos raglechem, under the soles of your feet. Now, it sounds like a pretty bad punishment, and it is, because this group does not end up getting Tchias HaMesim, resurrection of the dead, in the real way, because resurrection of the dead is your soul and your body reunited. We've talked about this before. Death is simply the separation of the soul and the body. The body decomposes. The soul has to go through some process, whether the soul has to go through some cleansing process or whether the soul goes straight to a pleasurable place. Either way, it's not the ultimate reward and it's not the ultimate future. The ultimate reward, the ultimate future is with Tchias HaMesim, when the body and soul are reunited and they are reunited in Olam Haba, in the future, this world, the way it looks like in the future. So this group doesn't get that. This group, their body is totally destroyed and their souls are incinerated. But they do end up with this future of being under the feet of the tzaddikim, which we'll talk about in a minute. But there are people who are worse off than that. The Gemara continues and says, Aval haminin v'hamesoros v'ha'apikarsim shekafru b'torah v'shekipru b'tchias ha'mesim v'shepirshu midarchei tzibor v'shenosnu chitisam b'eretz chayim v'shechotu v'hichtiu es harabim kegon yeravam ben nevot v'chaverav. So it lists a whole bunch of sins. These are the worst of the worst. Those who are heretics. Those who cause others to sin deliberately. Those who are mesoros or malshinim. Those who give over their fellow Jews to anti-Semites to be hurt or killed. Those who deny that there is resurrection of the dead, and those who deny the Torah, things of that nature. So the Gemara says, those people, yardim legehenim, they go down to Gehenim, v'nidonin ba ledore doros, and they're judged there forever and ever. And the Gemara cites a pasuk in Yeshaya, and the Gemara goes on from there. So the this group that we're talking about in our pasuk here in Malachi, that their bodies end and their souls are incinerated and their ashes are blown underneath the feet of the tzaddikim, that's not as bad as the last group. This group that we're talking about in Malachi have done some bad things and have adopted a very, very bad lifestyle. Nevertheless, they have not behaved in a manner that deserves that they are essentially completely cut off from the future. So what does this mean, that their bodies end and their souls are incinerated and their ashes are blown under the feet of the tzaddikim? Now, we don't know exactly what it means. Bear in mind that anytime we deal with something non-physical, spiritual, that is, then any description that we have is necessarily going to be lacking, because all our descriptions are physical in nature, because that's all we understand, that's all we know, because that's our experience. We don't have the vocabulary nor the imagination to properly frame what happens spiritually. However, we can give some description of it that mimics what we're talking about. So when it says over here that the souls are incinerated and the ashes are blown under the feet of the tzaddikim, we mean that there is some sort of a change, that they're not going to be resurrected the same way that the tzaddikim get resurrected. They're not going to have their bodies and their souls. And there is therefore there's going to be a diminishing for them. Whereas the tzaddikim will have their bodies, have their souls, and therefore they will properly be able to enjoy being in the presence of Hashem, which is what the future is all about. This group will not be able to deserve it, will not have it in that way. However, they're not completely eliminated. There will be some element of themselves, that's going to be these ashes, that will serve as some sort of a support, some sort of a foundation under the feet of the tzaddikim. So when the pasuk says that you will crush the evil people and they will be ashes under your feet, the intent here is that these groups, although they are bad, they're not so terrible that they have no connection to the future. And the way they will have connection to the future is through the tzaddikim. The Gemara tells us that it behooves a person to connect themselves as much as they can to tzaddikim, to Torah scholars, because the more we are connected to those who are connected to Hashem, then the more we're connected to Hashem. These people being described here in Malachi were disconnected from Hashem in their lifetime, but not so much so that they now have no connection whatsoever. They do have some, although it is a very weak connection, but they do have some ongoing connection to Hashem. And that will be expressed in the next world as somehow being under the feet of the tzaddikim, at least that there'll be some sense of being with the tzaddikim, being connected to the tzaddikim. Pasuk Chaf Beis, yes.
Is that about, because you said in the next world and one time, and then you said after Tchias HaMesim. So which one is it?
The next world is Tchias HaMesim according to Rashi. There's no difference. Rashi understands that Olam Haba is Tchias HaMesim. Rashi says that in Shas many, many times. Olam Haba.
So when after today, before Mashiach comes, after a person dies, it's not Olam Haba.
That's what Rashi.
After Mashiach comes.
That's what Rashi says. That's what the Ramchal writes as well. Now we don't really know, but that's what Rashi and the Ramchal both say, that Olam Haba is Tchias HaMesim.
The same. They're equal.
Yes, that is what Olam Haba is. Olam Haba is this world where we are right now, reconstituted in a way that rather than being a world where we do mitzvos and earn Olam Haba, it will be Olam Haba. It'll be reconstituted. The Ramchal writes that the souls after death, they go to a place called Gan Eden, which there are two Gan Edens. There's the Gan Eden down here and Gan Eden upstairs. And this is the one upstairs. And it is a pleasurable place, but it is not the same as Olam Haba and is not as pleasurable as Olam Haba. That's what he writes.
And so when Olam Haba, Olam Hazeh Domela Prozor, Olam Haba Domela Chak, you know, that we're talking about not the Gan Eden up there. We're talking about Olam Haba equals after Mashiach.
That's the way Rashi and the Ramchal say it. Again, I can't say that's the way everybody understands it, and we don't really know, but that's the way that they explain it.
So this pasuk is referring to after Mashiach comes, not after a person dies now, before Mashiach comes. This pasuk, what's going to happen with the neshama going to dust?
Yes, okay. That's the way Rashi explains it. Right. That's right. That's right. I'm going to just take a pause here. I just opened up the chat. I forgot about this. Thank you, Mrs. Garber, for reminding me that tonight is Mrs. Garber's father's yard site, Yisrael Ben Yaakov. And this shir, this class is dedicated as an Eloi Neshama for him. All our learning should give his Neshama and Aliyah. The Pasuk... Chaf Beis, verse 22. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Asher tzivisi oso v'chorev al kol Yisrael, that I commanded him in Chorev. Chorev is another name for Har Sinai, on all the Jewish people. Chukim u'mishpatim, laws and statutes. At the very end of Malachi, with all this discussion about the future, which gets us thinking about what's going on, Malachi makes it clear to us, don't lose sight of what really matters. What really matters is not what's going to be in the future. We have to know that there is a future. We have to know there is Tchias HaMesem. We have to know that there is Schar Va'onesh. There's reward and punishment. But at the end of the day, what really matters is, do we remember the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu or not? That's what it comes down to. And what defines our lives is not how much we know about Olam Haba, and how much we learn about Olam Haba, but rather, what are we doing about Olam Haba now? And what we have to do about Olam Haba now is remember Toras Moshe. That is the beginning and end of the entire story, is remember the Torah of Moshe. A person can study about Olam Haba, be excited about Olam Haba, but if they neglect to remember the Torah of Moshe, then they're not going to earn Olam Haba. And it's all about remembering the Torah of Moshe. And with that, Malachi proceeds to one of the most famous psukim in Nach. Hinei anochi shaleach lachem eis Eliyah ha-Navi. Behold, I am sending to you Eliyah the Navi. Eliyah is Eliyahu. There's a vav missing. Eliyah ha-Navi, lifnei bo yom Hashem ha-gadol v'hanora, before this great day of Hashem comes, before the day of Hashem comes, ha-gadol, the great, v'hanora, and the awesome. Before this day comes, Hashem says, I'm going to send you Eliyahu ha-Navi. What is he going to do? V'hishiv lev avos al banim, he will return the heart of fathers to their sons, v'leiv banim al avosam, and the heart of sons on their fathers, pen avo v'hikesi es ha'aretz cherem, lest I come and strike the world into utter destruction. And that's the way Navi ends. This is the last pasuk of Nevi'im. After this comes Kisuvim. This is the last pasuk of Nevi'im. Now, since it ends on a negative note, lest I come and strike the world into destruction, that's why when this is read in Shul, as I mentioned to you before, this part of Malachi is the Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol before Pesach, then the second to last pasuk is reread, which we do in several places when we don't want to end on a bad note. Al Ta'amod B'davar Ra, the pasuk says in Koheles, don't stand in a bad place, don't end with a bad thought. And therefore, we repeat the second to last pasuk, Hine Anochi Shaleach Lachem Eis Eliyah Hanavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora. So we repeat that pasuk not to end on a bad note. The reason why Eliyahu is spelled without a vav, Chazal tell us that there are five places in Tanakh that Eliyahu is spelled without a vav. It says Eliyah. And there are five places in Tanakh that Yaakov Avinu's name is spelled with a vav. Normally Yaakov is spelled Yud, Ayin, Kuf, Vez. There is no vav in the name Yaakov. But in five places it's spelled with a vav. And Chazal tell us that this is to hint to the fact that since Eliyahu Anavi is the harbinger of this future time, Yaakov takes a letter, so to speak, from Eliyahu's name and holds it as collateral to make sure that Eliyahu will come and be mevaser and announce for us the future time. So that in itself, of course, needs explanation. What does that mean exactly? But it certainly implies that Eliyahu HaNavi has some say in the matter as to whether he is going to actually come or not. And Yaakov Avinu is ensuring that he will. So we'll leave it at that for the time being, but there clearly is a connection between Yaakov Avinu, Eliyahu HaNavi, and this future time. But it's difficult to discuss that without knowing exactly what we're talking about when we talk about the future time. Now, Hashem says, I'm going to send you Eliyahu HaNavi before it comes the day of Hashem. HaGadol V'Hanora, the great and the awesome day of Hashem. What is he going to do? He is going to return the hearts of fathers on their sons and sons on their fathers. Rashi tells us, what does this mean? Rashi says, he will return the hearts of the fathers through the children. In other words, the hearts of the fathers will be returned to Hashem. Those fathers, those parents who have strayed from Hashem will be returned to Hashem through the children. The children will bring the parents back to Hashem. And the other way around as well, that the children who have strayed away from Hashem will be returned to Hashem through the parents. As Rashi says, it will be derech ahava v'ratzon, it will be through love, and they'll say, l'chu v'dibru el avoseichem, Eliyahu HaNavi will say to the children, go and speak to your parents, lechos v'derechei hamokom, to grab hold of the ways of Hashem. And similarly, the other way around, the hearts of the children will be returned through their parents. And Eliyahu HaNavi will bring shalom into this world. There will be peace in the world. As we know that a lot of the strife in this world is family strife. And the strife will end, and there will be peace brought about by Eliyahu HaNavi prior to this great and awesome day of Hashem. What day are we talking about over here? Now, in context, it appears like we're talking about this day that we've been talking about the whole time, which is some awesome day of judgment in the future, which seems to be way in the future. That's what it would seem from context. The Gemara Maseches Erevin tells us that Mashiach, we say we wait for him every day, as we're supposed to. We're supposed to wait for him every day. B'chol yom sheyavo. Every day we wait for Mashiach. One of the things we're going to be asked after 120 years is, Tzipisa Yeshua, did you hope for Hashem's salvation? Were you waiting for that ultimate salvation of Hashem? We're supposed to be waiting for Mashiach. It is, though, incorrect to say that Mashiach can come at any time. It is not true. Mashiach cannot come at any time, nor can he come on any day. That is not true. There are days that Mashiach will not come. Mashiach will not come on Shabbos. Mashiach will not come on Yontif. We wait for him every day, which means every day we want him, we're waiting for him. But that doesn't mean that he can come at any time, at any day. Now, on the days that he can come, we want him to come right away. He should come tomorrow morning. That's when we want him to come. We're waiting for him. But he cannot come on any day at all. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erevin that why can't Mashiach come on Shabbos? Why not? The Gemara at first discusses perhaps it has to do with the laws of Tichum Shabbos, with the laws of how far you can travel on Shabbos. The Gemara rejects that and wants to know why is it that Mashiach cannot come on Shabbos. Now, before we discuss this, let's remind ourselves. Mashiach is a human being. Mashiach is a descendant of David HaMelech. Mashiach means anointed. That's because the kings are anointed with oil. He's a human being born as a regular human being is born to regular parents. And he will grow and become the heir to the throne. And he will arrive and certain things will happen in his day. And the world will kind of readjust towards Hashem. There is a big machlokas exactly how this is going to happen and what will the world look like when this happens. But at the same time, there is definitely a change that will take place. The monarchy will be restored to the Jewish people in Israel with a Beis HaMikdash. That is all going to happen with the coming of Mashiach. But he can't come on Shabbos. Why not? The Gemara in Erevin tells us the reason why Mashiach cannot come on Shabbos is because our Pasuk here tells us, Hashem says, I'm sending to you Eliyah the Navi, before the day of Hashem comes. The Gemara in Erevin says, that day of Hashem refers to the day Mashiach comes. And the day before Mashiach comes, Eliyahu HaNavi will arrive to herald the Mashiach, to announce to us the coming of Mashiach. Eliyahu HaNavi is likewise a human being. However, Eliyahu HaNavi, as much as he is a human being, he has some form which is angelic. We know that Eliyahu HaNavi lives forever. He does not die. Nevertheless, he did leave this world in a fiery chariot. And we know that he returns to this world sometimes in human form. Sometimes not in human form. So Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come back and he is going to announce to us the coming of Mashiach. So what does that have to do with Mashiach coming on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, because, let's keep in mind that Eliyahu HaNavi is a Navi. He's a prophet. None of us have ever met a Navi. A Navi is not just a prophet. It means that a Navi, in order to become a prophet, a person must be a very, 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 very great tzaddik. It must be a person who is very, very, very close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have never met anyone who is as great a person, who is as close to Hashem as a Navi. We haven't met anybody who's even remotely as close to Hashem as a Navi. Even though we have met some very great people, people who truly are great people, Nevertheless, as great as they are not anywhere nearly as close to Hashem as a Navi is. Therefore, when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he will be the greatest tzaddik, greatest, whatever you want to call it, the one who is closest to Hashem by far than anyone on the face of the earth for generations. He will be completely different than any great person we've ever met. Well, when a great person comes to a city, what do? If our city would be visited by a great Talmud Chacham, by a great tzaddik, what would we do? We would go and greet that tzaddik. We would go and greet that Talmud Chacham, which is what we're supposed to do. We show honor to Hashem by honoring those who are close to him. And so we would go and honor that person. If Eliyahu HaNavi would arrive, even if it wasn't in Atlanta, Georgia, he just arrived in this world in a manner that was obvious and public, everybody would be expected to drop what they're doing and go and greet Eliyahu HaNavi. A number of years ago, you know that in recent history of the in recent Jewish history, the greatest person to have lived in the past several hundred years is the Vilna Gaon. No one comes close to the level of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon died in the late 1700s. He was buried in Lithuania, where he lived, in Vilna, where he lived. There was, at one point in time, within the past 50 years, a person who got it into their heads. They had decided they wanted to exhume the Vilna Gaon and move him to Eretz Yisrael, to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't happen. It didn't work out. Whatever it was, didn't go. But when one of my Rabbeim was telling me about this, he told me that you understand that if someone would do something like that, the person maybe he's messing with something he shouldn't be dealing with, and that's not a very smart thing to do. However, bear in mind that if someone would do that, we would all drop what we're doing and go to accompany the body of the Vilna Gaon to its resting place. That would be a levaya. When a body is exhumed, that is a levaya. And every single member of Klal Yisrael that could physically do it would have to drop what they're doing and be melave and accompany the Vilna Gaon. How could we not? If that is true of a levaya for the Vilna Gaon, well, the Eliyahu HaNavi arriving in a public manner, we would all have to drop what we're doing to go and greet Eliyahu HaNavi. Says the Gemara, if Eliyahu HaNavi would arrive on a Friday, which would be the day before Mashiach would come on a Shabbos, then we would all have to drop what we're doing on a Friday and go greet Eliyahu HaNavi. What would be with Shabbos? Then how would Shabbos be prepared? How would we have food to eat? How would we be ready? Shabbos would end up becoming something which would not be a Shabbos. It would be an unprepared Shabbos. That can't be. Hashem would not do that if it's meant to be the coming of Mashiach. Therefore, Mashiach cannot come on Shabbos, says the Gemara in Erevin, because that would mean that Mashiach, that Eliyahu HaNavi comes on Friday. And then we are unable to be ready for Shabbos. The Gemara asks, well, then maybe Mashiach shouldn't come on Friday. Because if we need to go greet Eliyahu HaNavi, we certainly need to go greet Mashiach. And the Gemara says that's true. Mashiach will be even greater than Eliyahu HaNavi. However, it's true we would all have to go greet him. But once Mashiach comes, then since the entire world will have a new perspective on Hashem and His Torah, then the non-Jews will prepare Shabbos for us. And therefore, it is not a problem for Mashiach to come on Friday, but it is a problem for him to come on Shabbos because of Elyonah arriving the day beforehand on Friday, and then how would Shabbos get prepared? That is what the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin. That means the Gemara Maseches Erevin is understanding this pasuk of Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem Eis Eliyahu Navi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem, before this great day of Hashem comes, is referring to the coming of Mashiach. The question on the chat is, how will we recognize Eliyahu HaNavi? How would we know that it is Eliyahu HaNavi? It's a good question. I don't know the answer, but I do know that we will know. I don't know how we'll know, but we will know. That's what the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin. The Gemara in Maseches Shkalim, the Gemara Yerushalmi in Maseches Shkalim, also talks about Eliyahu HaNavi, also cites this pasuk, same pasuk we just read, and says that this refers to the great day of judgment in the future, which is what we're talking about contextually here. And that Eliyahu HaNavi will come before that great day, which is already at Tchias HaMesim, already with the resurrection of the dead. That's what we're talking about with Eliyahu HaNavi coming the day beforehand. Whatever that means, whatever, however you count days in that period of time. So Eliyahu HaNavi will come at that time before the great day of Hashem, this great day of judgment. So which one is it? Is this pasuk talking about the day before Mashiach comes? Or is this pasuk talking about the day before this great, awesome judgment day of Hashem? That's the question. What is the pasuk talking about? The Rambam, which I'm pulling out now, the Rambam writes at the very, very end of the Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam writes, discussing Mashiach and the future. This is at the end of Hilchos Malachim, the end of the Laws of Kings. It is in the end of the 12th and final chapter. The Rambam says, I'm going to read to you, it's a little bit lengthy, but it's interesting. Most people find it very interesting to hear things about the coming of Mashiach. So I'll read to you what the Rambam says. It is in Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12. It's Halacha Beis, the second Halacha in chapter 12. Amru Chachamim, our sages have said, Ein Bein HaOlam Hazeh LiYamos HaMashiach. There is no difference between this world and the time when Mashiach comes. Ela Shibud Malchios Bilvad. Only that we will no longer be under the control of the non-Jews. We will be independent and have our own monarchy. That's many times people quote this Rambam to, and they mistakenly believe that that means the world is going to essentially be exactly what it is now, just that we will be independent of the non-Jews. They neglect to realize that included in this is that we'll have a real monarchy, not the system of government that exists now in Eretz Yisrael. We will have a Beis HaMikdash. Eretz Yisrael will be a Torah-run country. There will be clearly very great differences between now and then. The Rambam just means it will not be a miraculous life. It's not like there's going to be man falling from the sky. That's what he means to say. Yira mipshutan shel divrei hanaviim. It seems, says the Rambam, from the simple reading of the prophets, shebetchilas yamos hamashiach tia melchemes gog umagog. Then at the beginning of the days of Mashiach, there will be the war of Gog Umagog. Okay, that's interesting. V'shekodem milchemes Gog Umagog, and before the war of Gog Umagog, Yamo Navi liYisrael, a prophet will arise for the Jewish people, liYasher liYisrael, to make the Jews righteous, ulahachin libam, to prepare their hearts. Shenemar, as the verse says, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, Eis Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm going to send you Eliyahu HaNavi. Right? The Rambam seems to be understanding that this pasuk is talking about before the war of Gog u'Magog. That's when Eliyahu Navi is going to come. I'm skipping ahead a little bit. V'yesh min ha-chachamim sh'omrim, and some sages say, shekodem bias ha-melech ha-mashiach yavo Eliyahu. That no, that's not when Eliyahu is coming. He's not coming before the war of Gog u'Magog. Rather, he is coming before the coming of Mashiach. So it seems like the Rambam now is telling us there are actually three opinions. There's the opinion that we said that he's coming before this great and awesome day of Hashem, of the judgment, that he's coming before Mashiach comes, or maybe he's coming before the war of Gog u'Magog. V'chol eilu hadvarim, says the Rambam, all these things, uchiyotze bahen, and those similar to this, lo yeda adam heichyu ad sheyiyu. A person does not know what they will be until they will be. Shedvarim stumen heim etzel neviim. These things are undefined by the prophets. The prophets did not define things clearly in this realm. Gama chachamim, also the sages. Ein lahem kabbalah bedvarim elu. They don't have a clear tradition in this, in these things. They don't have a clear mesorah. They don't have a clear tradition from their rebbeim. El lefi achreya hapsukim. Only it is through their understanding of the verses. Ulefikach, and therefore yesh lahem machlokes bedvarim elu. They have a difference of opinion in these things. Ve'al kol panim, but whichever way you're going to go, ein sidur havayos dvarim elu velo diktukan ikur bidas. The order of these things and being particular in these things is not an ikur. It is not a foundational main point, bidas, in the law of the Torah. It is not important to know the sequence of events and precisely how things are going to happen. Ula olam lo yisasek adam bedivrei ha-hagados. A person should not get overly involved in these matters. Vo yarech bedivrei midrashos ha-amurim binyanim elu. He should not spend a lot of time on the midrashos that are mentioned in this particular topic. Uchiyotzman, and similar to this. He should not make these things the main point. Because these things do not bring a person not to fear Hashem, nor to love Hashem. And also a person should not try to figure out the timing. Oh, Mashiach is supposed to come in 4 years, or in 12 years, or a person shouldn't do that. And he brings from Chazal that that's not the way to be. Rather, he should wait, v'yamin, and he should believe, b'chlal hadavar, in the general concept, kamosha v'yanur, be'arnu, as we explained. We don't know the sequence of events. And the Rambam says, we're not gonna know the sequence of events until it happens. That's the way it's set up. That's deliberate. And the Rambam makes it a very, very strong point. Deliberating these things, thinking about these things, getting involved in these things, does not bring a person to fear Hashem or to love Hashem. Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, Malachi says. Remember the Torah of Moshe. Before he tells us this unbelievable pasuk, Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lachem, I'm going to send Eliyahu Navi, this pasuk that everybody wants to know, when is this going to happen? What is it talking? Is it talking about before Mashiach? Is it talking about before Gog u'Magog? Is it talking about before this awesome thing? What is this pasuk talking about? Before saying this pasuk, Malachi tells us, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant. Don't get caught up with what I'm about to tell you. Know that what I'm about to tell you is true. Wait for it. Hope for it. But don't get caught up with it. It's not the ikker. It's not the main thing. The main thing is a general belief in Mashiach arriving and a general hope for Mashiach to come, wanting Mashiach to come. But the specific sequence of events, that is not something to get involved with, and we don't know really whether this pasuk is talking about before Mashiach comes, whether it's talking about before Gog Umagog, whether it's talking about before the awesome day, or maybe all of the above. We don't know. Or maybe a fourth choice, which we don't know. We don't know. And it's going to remain that way. And no amount of asking the question over and over and over again and trying to figure out, that's not going to give us the answer. We're not going to know. That is on purpose. That's by design. But we do need to know that it is happening. A person does need to believe fully in the coming of Mashiach. A person needs to believe fully in Tchiyas HaMeisim. And these psukim here give us some taste of that. But that's all it is. We have to know that when this happens, the world will become a better place. There will be shalom in the world. There will be a Jewish monarchy that is based on Torah and Torah alone. And the world will recognize Hashem. Those are foundational points that are significant that we have to know. Will there be miracles? We don't know. There's a difference of opinion. Who knows? That's really unimportant for the belief in Mashiach, the belief in the fact that there will be these things. There will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, there will be a resurrection of the dead. There will be reward, there will be Olam Haba. But how, when, what, we don't know. And that is the way that Malachi ends off his Sefer, and that's the way the Rambam ends off his Sefer as well. That is the way that we are expected to deal with the concept of Mashiach and the concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim and the future that we are waiting for with our being. We want Mashiach to come. For no question, that's what we want, that's what we're waiting for. However it happens, it happens. However, whatever the sequence of events is, it is. Any questions?
Yes. So this pasuk, you know, Hine Shalech and Lev Avos Habanim, whatever. We have opportunities very often in our lives where we see this actually happening, that we see it. And so by your point saying, okay, we shouldn't figure out when is Mashiach is coming, etc., is it inappropriate, or even let's say Eretz Yisrael, you know, that we can live in Eretz Yisrael and we have a lot of there's things that have happened that are happening through the years, etc. Is it inappropriate to see that this could be, you know, this whole expression of Ikdus of the Mashiach, that we are in it and it's all pattern process for it. And when we see the Lev Avos Habanim and Banim Avos, that it seems to be already happening in some level.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. There's no question that when you start to see some of these things coming true, that it certainly whets our appetite and it certainly makes it appear like we're on the verge. And we didn't coin that phrase. Ikvas of the Mashiach is a Mishnah in Maseches Sota. And Gedolim of recent times have said that we are in Ikvas of the Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. We're right there. We're on the doorstep. We're on the threshold. So seems to be the case. The problem with it is we don't know what the threshold means. There's no question that those who survived World War II believed they were on the threshold. And they might have been on the threshold. But what did the threshold mean? Clearly, it did not mean that he was coming the next year because he didn't come. So what does it mean? So as much as, yes, we are certainly closer than generations of the past, but we still don't know exactly what it means. And so it's going to be a mystery until it happens. It is certainly a good thing for a person to say, oh, look at that, it's coming true. If that gives a person a certain confidence that, okay, you know, I always knew the words of the Navi were MS, but look, it's coming true. It gives me even more confidence that the words of the Navi are MS. That's a good thing. But we still don't know if being on the threshold means tomorrow, or it means next year, or it means in 10 years. We don't know. And it will always be we don't know until it happens.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.